To quote from Henry's letter, "Since beginning my spirit releasement work as a clinical psychologist, I have been very busy and often have requests outside of my regular office work. I have done releasements on the telephone in the middle of the night, both direct and remote. I have worked through my lunch hour, and 97 sometimes I have been so tired I have fallen asleep for a few seconds at a time while facilitating releasements. No matter, the techniques still work and I feel blessed and privileged to be able to do such effective and redemptive play work for soul's advancement and ascension. The spirit releasement techniques that I and others are using are evolving quickly and wonderfully. This work is truly safe and easy." Irene Hickman recently asked me, "Can you possibly imagine a more exciting work than what we are doing with releasements?" My answer is that I cannot. 98-99 Chapter 10 is Remote Depossession Meddling? At first thought, it would appear that scanning for entities without the conscious knowledge of the person being scanned is indeed meddling. I am of the opinion that if the Ten Commandments were to be expanded to 12 or 13, one of the added ones would be, "Thou shalt not meddle." In the same way, any distant healing or even prayer for another who has not themselves asked for it could be called meddling. I feel that special effort should be made to avoid this kind of intrusion into the psyche of another. My special effort is to always ask permission of the high self of the one to be scanned. This high self has the interests of the whole person as a first concern and would not give permission if harm would result. Whenever we receive a response of no or not now when permission is asked, we do not proceed. As long as the attached entities are there as uninvited trespassing intruders, it seems acceptable to locate them and sell them on the idea of going to a better place. Their departure is a benefit both to the host and to the entity that was attached. So many times the person with the attached entity does not suspect its presence and does not think of seeking help through depossession. It seems to me that it is only necessary to avoid acting from our personal ego stance of, "Look. See what I can do." Instead, we need to be concerned that all beings touched in any 100 way are being served lovingly. Does depossession always work successfully? A common axiom, "never say never, never say always," probably applies here. It would be gratifying to receive 100% feedback reports of obvious beneficial results. I do not know how to accomplish this. Many depossession sessions in which I have been involved have resulted in no feedback at all. Of the number of reports I have received, only two appeared not to be successful. During one of my out-of-town workshops, we did a remote depossession on the two sons of a participant in the workshop. She phoned me the next day saying that one son showed marked change for the better, but that the second son was about the same. Our conversation continued, during which she revealed that the unimproved son had been drinking after the time of our session. We could conclude that we were unsuccessful in removing all trespassing entities or that the drinking had opened him to further entity intrusion. Another not-so-glowing report followed a session we did in Chicago at the Mid-America Hypnosis Conference in August, 1993. Corinne S. of Ohio requested a remote for her brother Stephen. Stephen had a long history of serious emotional disturbance. He had had 13 electric convulsive treatments and 101 attempts to stabilize him. On the day we did the remote releasement, he stopped drinking and remained free of drink for 6 days. This was unusual for him as he was in the habit of drinking daily. Then he began to drink again, his irrational behavior escalated and he required hospitalization. Some excerpts from Corinne's letter: "He often tried to make me angry. When my latest response wasn't anger, but the expectation that he would be held responsible for whatever he said and did and that I would not bail him out, his anger escalated. The same or different spirits seemed to have returned in full force. I was able to tell him to leave. I was reminded of one of your statements from your talk in Chicago that one should question everything. I questioned whether spirit releasement done for my brother would really help him as they did not make him well. As I write this, I recall something else that you said that made an impact on me, that many times we are stubborn and had to face the lessons over and over. God's will, not mine, be done. I have come to believe that there is only so much that you can do for another person, no matter how much you love them. My brother did arouse anger in me, and I have been struggling with that and have finally found peace in knowing I have done all I could do for him. I continue to send him love and light, but have learned that now is the time to let go. If a person that you are doing remotes on doesn't want to change and grow, then aren't you only temporarily clearing him of spirits? His will and refusal to change starts the cycle all over again, doesn't it? Even 102, if that is all, real and profound changes have occurred within my family. Stephen is now faced with a family whose buttons have been disconnected. This has been a difficult letter to write. I found it very enlightening for me. My original intent was to question whether doing remotes was something that falls within human will or God's will, as the results were not what I had hoped for. I now have renewed faith in the larger plan and note the very significant changes that have helped the whole family deal with Stephen in a new way. These two reports are balanced by many favorable ones. Most of my life I have felt that I would like to change the world for the better. I now feel that I have found the right way to do it. 103 Chapter 11 Discussion. Depossession and remote depossession as described here are not new. Carl Wickland, MD, a psychiatrist with spiritualist connections, worked with many severely disturbed patients whom he thought to be possessed. For 30 years, his wife Anna, a trance medium, would allow spirits possessing another person to speak through her voice. Dr. Wickland would dialogue with these spirits, educate them about a better place and persuade them to leave their host. His book, 30 Years Among the Dead, 1924, describes in detail his dialogues with spirits and his theory of the role of spirit possession in mental illness. Between 1902 and 1945, Edgar Cayce, an American mystic, gave over 14,000 trance readings, mostly for diagnosing and recommending treatment for sick people who had not been helped by traditional medicine. Cayce was a Bible expert and Southern fundamentalist Christian when awake. In deep hypnosis he had much to say, indicating that our illnesses could be caused by past life trauma or possessing entities. My own first acquaintance with the spirit depossession concept was from hearing a lecture by Dr. Edith Forrest, psychologist from Saratoga, California, at the first International Congress on Alternative Therapies in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in 1985. Dr. Fort told of having done several hundred depossessions and said, "But I've never met a demon." 104 In July of 1988, I again heard her speak on this subject at the first International Conference on Paranormal Research in Fort Collins, Colorado. Here she stated that she had dealt with a few demons. At that conference, several other speakers discussed possession cases. These included Dr. Hugh Harmon, Dr. Louise Ireland Frey, Dr. Bill Baldwin and myself. My case was one in which an aborted fetus had claimed to have entered her sister, 6 years younger, and had caused various problems. I could only describe this case. I had at that time no training or understanding as to how to deal with the problem. I was particularly impressed with the presentation of Dr. Bill Baldwin, both during a lecture and a two-hour workshop. In May of the following year, I had training with Bill. I realized that my work with remote depossession more closely resembles that of Drive Wickland than the others, but differs in that Dr. Wickland would use a mild electric shock to drive out recalcitrant spirits, who would then enter Anna. He would then remove them from Anna, sending them to a better place. Dr. Farr was the first to give us a good usable instruction as to how to deal with possessing entities in her book, The Unquiet Dead, 1987. She was Baldwin's mentor. He in turn has developed his own style and method, which he relates in his book, Spirit Releasement Therapy, 1993. I have also modified what I have learned. Those I have trained each develop their own therapy style and method. Who is to say which style is best? Perhaps we each 105 must find that which works best for us. As I think about the growing interest in alternative therapies, in hypnotherapy in particular and in spirit releasement or depossession, I am led to wonder about the possible effect of this book. Will it fade away and be barely remembered by few, or will it unleash a deluge of requests for remote depossession far greater than the few trained therapists can accept? One possible happening is that some people will see depossession therapy when the problem has a different origin, different cause. Possession by an entity, earthbound or demonic, is not the only cause of our disturbed health or our undesirable behavior. It is likely to be tempting for many people to seek to put any blame for unwise choices or behavior onto an entity. My observation is that some people can completely disrupt their lives from their deliberate choices without needing any extraneous motivation. For these cases, the pattern of reward-punishment popular with behaviorist therapists could be effective. For some, the origin of problems is to be found in traumatic events in the present life, possibly as far back as early childhood, infancy, and birth or intrauterine. Dr. Ford describes a case whose low self-esteem and feeling of unworthiness of being loved originated when an attempt was made to abort her. Many problems have their origin in emotional traumas in earlier lives. A masterful two-volume set of books, Regression Therapy, A Handbook for Professionals, 1993, by Winifred B. Lucas, Ph.D., is a splendid sourcebook for those who would like to 106 understand regression into former lives. Unless we realize that there are several possible causes for problems, we may be doing our patients or clients a disservice. Entity releasement will not solve a problem unless that problem has been caused by the presence of an attached entity. It is essential that we find and deal with the cause, whatever it is. I expect the interest in depossession to continue to grow and attract an ever-increasing number of therapists. If this happens, we can expect to produce ever greater and greater changes in the lives of the world's population. What next? A most encouraging development has been the establishment in 1992 of the National Institute of Health, Office of Alternative Medicine, with Dr. Larry Dossey, MD, as its CO chairman. Dr. Dossey, author of Beyond Illness, 1982, now living in Santa Fe, NM, has long recognized the shortcomings of medical practice that fails to give proper acknowledgement to the role of mind and emotions in human health problems. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin, chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee which funds NIH, favors this investigation of alternative therapies. His committee issued this mandate. The committee is not satisfied that the conventional medical community as symbolized by NIH has fully explored the 107 potential of unconventional medical practices. In order to more adequately explore these unconventional medical practices, the committee requests that the NIH establish within the office of the director an office to fully investigate and validate these practices. The committee further directs that the NIH convene and establish an advisory program to fully test the most promising unconventional medical practices. Panels within the Office of Alternative Medicine are now studying various alternatives. Their report is expected to be completed and available to the public by late spring 1994. With the growing number of Americans who are dissatisfied, even outraged at the ever-rising cost, the side effects, the impersonal treatment and frequent ineffectiveness of mainstream American medicine, it surely is time to examine alternative options. Further research will surely find that some methods now thought of as fringe to be not only effective, but also safe and less expensive. The Office of Alternative Medicine appears to be heading toward change in medical treatment or in helping to determine what the new changes will be. Our depossession work has some support from the writing of Dr. Ed Murphy, Associate Professor of Bible and Missions at San Jose Christian College. His scholarly book, The Handbook of Spiritual Warfare, 1992, includes many cases in which what he calls demons affect their hosts unfavorably. Many that he calls demons appear to me to be similar 108 to the earthbound entities we encounter in our depossession work. Dr. Murphy's belief system appears to prevent him from considering that some attachments are earthbound or unclean spirits. He seems to consider all evidence of the presence of attached beings as having been produced by demons. Dr. Murphy includes many interesting demon names such as anger, anxiety, bitterness, confusion, dissection, dread, fear, liar, lust, panic, rejection, terror, worry and others. We occasionally encounter entities having similar names. We have an entirely different method of freeing them from their human hosts. Dr. Murphy describes prayers and rituals used for deliverance of afflicted ones without including that there is a place for the entities to go after leaving their human hosts. I feel that Dr. Murphy's greatest contribution to the effort we are making is his stressing that attachments are real, even though he seems to have failed to recognize that entities come in two, sometimes more, species earthbound and the dark or demonic, and that these differing beings need to be treated differently. Not only are they treated differently when found, but have separate places to go when they are removed. Earthbounds go to the light, while the demonic go with Saint Michael's forces to a special place for training to become future rescuers. As more and more therapists become trained in remote depossession, the possible changes that can be produced are infinite in number. 109 transformations since we have seen results from remote depossession transforming insane criminals, critically ill patients, incorrigible children, violent spouses, pain-racked clients, depressed and discouraged folks and others into productive, health-harmonious persons. I would expect that the possibility for widespread beneficial changes is limited only by the number of people able and willing to do this work. It appears that worldwide transformation has become possible through the use of the techniques of remote depossession. 110-111 Chapter 12 Depossessing a Demon. All of the dark entities we encounter could be classified as the demon species. Very few have exhibited the characteristics usually attributed to demons. Nearly all are more like rather unbright spoiled preteen brats. However, in the 5 years I have been working with depossession techniques, I have encountered four who might justly deserve the title. Three were found during one-on-one spirit releasements. The fourth appeared during a remote. Lee, who had been doing releasements, told us that he had felt one entity he had been releasing from another person enter him. We agreed to check him by remote techniques while he was in the room with us. Becky had done many remotes. She was hypnotized and her inner wisdom was consulted as to whether she should scan Lee. Approval was given. Permission was asked of Lee's high self and this was granted. Becky began scanning Lee. Becky. I see a real darkness that instead of being inside, it seems to be coming around from the back like a shawl. Dr. H. Anything else? Becky. Something about his hips. But that's not an entity. Dr. H. Any place else? Becky. Number 112 Dr. H. I call now to you who is causing this darkness that appears to come around from the back. At this point, Becky began moaning, flinging her arms about and appeared to be distressed. Have you ever had your own human body? More moaning and rolling from side to side, I call now on the forces of Saint Michael, the mighty rescue angels, to come and surround this one with a net of light. More outcries of pain. Stop your moaning. Becky continued expressions of discomfort. Hush it. Outcries containing a note of fear. I know you're frightened. But you're not hurting, so hush it. I ask the forces of Saint Michael to pull the net tighter and tighter. Answer me. Have you ever had your own human physical body? More outcries of pain and then crying. Hush it. Calm down. I want to communicate with you and I want you to answer my questions. Enough of this. I know you are frightened, but you have nothing to be frightened about. All we have done is to put a net of light around you just to persuade you to answer the questions promptly and truthfully. As soon as you are willing to do that, you will be quite comfortable. What is your purpose here in Lee? Entity. Shouting, war. Dr. H. You're trying to frighten me, aren't you? Calm down. Answer my questions. What is your purpose here in Lee? Entity. Shouting, kill him. 113 Dr. H. You tried, didn't you? Entity. Yes. Dr. H. Did you succeed? Entity. Not yet. Dr. H. Was that your assignment? Entity. I will succeed. I always succeed. Dr. H. Who gave you that assignment? Entity. Ratcher. Dr. H. What happens when you give the name of your boss? Entity. Nothing to you. Dr. H. Does the boss like you to give out his name? Entity. He doesn't care. Threatening tone, you can't hurt us. Dr. H. I'm not trying to hurt you. Will you answer my questions calmly now? Entity. Yes. Dr. H. How old was Lee when you joined him? Entity. 40. This was in error as Lee was younger than 40. Dr. H. Was it your decision to kill him or was it an order from your boss? Entity. I hate him. Dr. H. What reason do you have for hating him? Entity. His work. Dr. H. What is it about his work that you hate? More loud long outcries, stop your moaning. Answer my question. What is it about his work that you hate? Entity. Growling, you know. 114 Dr. H. I'm asking and I expect an answer. Entity. Shouting, you too. Dr. H. You don't like what I do? What do you know about what I do? Entity. Still shouting, I know. Dr. H. What do you observe about Lee's work and mine? Entity. Angry shouting, you mess up our plans. You ruin things. Dr. H. I would like you to look a little more carefully at the results. Entity. Unintelligible but what really happens because of Lee's work and mine? Entity. Loud frightened tone, I'm not going to talk to you. Dr. H. You will talk to me. The net around you gets tighter and tighter until you decide to answer calmly without all this moaning and screaming. I want you to admit what we really do. Entity. Frightened. I don't like this. Dr. H. You're getting scared, aren't you? You thought you could frighten me and Lee, but it didn't work. I suspect that you're really scared of your boss. He might be watching. What will your boss do if you don't follow orders? Entity. Shouting, I follow orders. Dr. H. What would happen if you didn't? Low growling moans. Answer me and answer me truthfully. Entity. No. Dr. H. No. What? 115 Entity. I won't answer you. Dr. H. The net grows tighter and tighter until you do. Loud moaning as in pain, stop the moaning. More painful crying, now you really know the kind of work that Lee and I do. Entity. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Dr. H. But you're just afraid that you're not going to succeed. You're afraid that you might be punished if you don't succeed. Isn't that right? Snort. Dr. H. Answer me. Feel the fear much more than your anger and hate. Feel that fear, feel it. Painful outcries, stop your moaning, I can help you. Entity. You can't help me. Dr. H. Hush your moaning and listen. I have helped others and Lee has helped others. Sobbing, you have a horrible existence. You take orders from horrible beings. You have failed and are full of fear. Right? You're failing at your job. Entity. Tone of desperation, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. Dr. H. I didn't ask you who's gasping, aren't you failing? Entity. I just have to get back. I just have to get back. Dr. H. Back where? Entity. In him. Dr. H. But you are failing and you're scared. Feel the fear. I can 116 help you be relieved of this fear. Entity. How can you help me? Dr. H. Just try it. Listen and follow a few simple suggestions. Haven't you had enough of this fear? Entity. Sobbing, yes. Dr. H. And you know what will happen to you if you fail. Entity. Yes. Dr. H. There is another option. You don't have to fear that awful place where beings like you are sent for punishment. Entity. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. Still frantic with fear. Dr. H. You have believed a lie if you have believed that. What were you told about the light? Entity. No. Stay away. Dr. H. What reason were you given for staying away? Entity. It melts you. Dr. H. It does not melt you. No, moaning and pay attention to what's happening to send a shaft of light right through you, and another. More loud outcries, hush up and notice. Did it melt you? Entity. Quieter now, no. Dr. H. You have been believing a lie. That was a deception. You have allowed yourself to be deceived. I can help you to 117 escape from the liars and deceivers who give you orders. You were told that the light would destroy you and cause you to melt, but that didn't happen. Do you recognize that you have been deceived? Do you recognize the lie? Entity. Yes. Dr. H. Those beings around you that have you enclosed in the net and have shown you the shafts of light are here to rescue you from your horrible and fearful existence. Entity. It's awful. Dr. H. Of course it's awful, but you don't need to continue. You've had enough, haven't you? Entity. Sadly, yes. Dr. H. Become aware of the beings around you. Communicate with them. Ask them why they are here. Ask them what they can do for you. What do they say? Entity. Softly, they say they can help me. Dr. H. Ask them how they can help you. Entity. How do I know they are right? Dr. H. You have found out that what you have been believing was not the truth. Take a chance. Ask them about their existence, whether they are filled with fear. What do they tell you? Entity. They say it's better and I can go with them. Dr. H. As you get ready to go with them, look deep within the very center of your being and let me know what you find there. 118 Entity. Nothing. Dr. H. Look deeper. Now what do you find? Entity. A little spark. Dr. H. You were told that light would melt you and here it is within you. It has been there all the time. You have allowed the deceivers to convince you of a lie. That was a mistake. You're not all black. Watch that spark that you have found at your center and tell me what changes take place. Entity. It's growing. Dr. H. What else? Is it uncomfortable in any way? Entity. No. Dr. H. What's happening to your darkness? Entity. It's going. Dr. H. Tell me when it's all gone. What's happening? Entity. It's gone. Dr. H. Look at the beings around you now and at yourself. Now do you believe that you might belong with them? Entity. Yes. Dr. H. Now, before you leave Lee, look around inside his body and around the periphery. Are there any others of your former dark nature in or around Lee? Entity. No. Dr. H. Prepare to leave and as you leave Lee's body, call out through the universe for all beings of your former dark nature to come and join you and go home with the 119 rescuers. Are you calling? Entity. Yes. Dr. H. Are they coming? Entity. Yes. Dr. H. How many? Entity. Too many to count. Dr. H. Remind each one of them to look deep inside and find their true nature at their core. Go in peace with our love and blessing. I now ask the healing angels to fill the space in Lee vacated by the fearful one. Now Becky, locate the brightest spot of Lee's spirit, focus on it and let it expand, filling his body and expanding out around his body at least arm's length in all directions. Now fill your own body in the same way and tell me when it is finished. Prepare to waken. The forces within your body will equalize as you waken. In the future, if we have an occasion to work together, I will take your left hand in my left hand and count to 21. If you are willing, by the time I reach 21 you will be deeply relaxed in hypnosis and ready for the work. If for any reason you are not willing, then neither I nor anyone else will be able to induce this state in you. You will always remain in control, free to accept or reject whatever I or anyone else says to you, free to answer questions or to remain silent. Residual undesirable effects of this experience. At times it seems essential to